morning.
What'd you do with Gary?
He's got work to do. He has to do some paperwork.
Oh, we're ready. Ecclesiastes 9.
Listen to Gary.
Gary's not coming. Gary and John are not coming.
We're probably going to spend the rest of the day on the same verse that we did yesterday. Chapter 9, verse 7. Go thy way. Eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Do you remember what when I talked to you what about the Bath Kol? It's when they supposedly hear of the voice of God. It's the Bath Kol. I guess it was a bananas thing and Harry forgot.
You kids don't remember bananas.
In Hebrew terms, the three times that Jesus heard the voice of God was a Bath Kol. It was a voice from eternity or a... And notice that we've already heard it once here from this, go thy way, eat thy bread. And now they've allegedly heard it another time with this verse. It's this Rabbi Nasi, the one that, they call him the nose, it's Rabbi Judah HaNasi, and he was the one that was the main rabbi at the time of Hadrian and Bar Kokhba rebellion, and the one that the Jews wrapped in one of the Torah scrolls and set him on fire. But this is he said of this: "Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart." He said this refers to what happens on Yom Kippur. The scapegoat is sent out, and the people are readying themselves for the Feast of Booths, or for Tabernacles. And the Holy One says, "What has gone, has gone." In other words, because of the work of, remember the scapegoats are twins. One of them is, throat is cut. He's killed for the sins of the temple. And the other one is sent out into the wilderness. And it's to take away the sins from the consciousness of the people. And so, Rabbi's comment is, what has gone, has gone. And this is also the time at which Christ was baptized. This is the only time the Jews baptized. It was between this period of Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, and Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Those 10 days are called the Days of Awe. And this is when John looked and saw Messiah and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world," is what we have in the New Testament. But as we know, it's "Behold, the goat of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Now it isn't just for a year, though, it's forever. And the bath coal went out. And the bath coal, after the rabbi said, what is gone is gone, the bath coal allegedly was, go thy way, eat thy bread with a, and drink thy wine, eat thy bread with joy and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. That to me, that is so big that it's beyond bigness. Remember, that happened in the midst of the week in Daniel. There's no more, there's not a floating week that went. Okay, let's go to Daniel 9.
This is where the ribbon turned color and the people knew at that point that
right, this is the first time. It's the last time. What they did was they tied a ribbon, a scarlet ribbon, to the horn of the scapegoat that was sent into the wilderness. And it was sent way, way out. And this was the last time that when the allegedly when the scapegoat was accepted, the ribbon that they'd taken off and left in the temple, the ribbon turned white to indicate that, behold, lo, thy sin be as scarlet. And from Isaiah, he has made it white as snow. But in Daniel 9, I forgot to go there. Now I can't find Daniel. Now, again, another reference to this, go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, drink thy wine with a merry heart, was supposedly said at this point here. Daniel, it says in verse 20, and while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Now, the scripture says, the Talmud says that when Daniel finished his supplication, was truly in supplication. Remember, supplication is total and complete dependence on God, even if your head is in the mouth of a lion. So Daniel had spent everything up till that time learning that kind of faith. The beginning of his supplication, the voice, the bath coal, went out. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy. And then and the angel of the Lord was caused to fly swiftly to see him. And then this is what the angel of the Lord told him to tell the people. In verse 24, 70 weeks are determined or have been determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. And listen to what, again, what to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Everything I believe and everything I teach says that this all was finished at Christ's death. It was prefigured in the middle of the week. It says, know therefore and understand that from the going, in verse 25, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem upon the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That's 69 weeks. And the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. the wall of the temple was finished 3.5 years before Christ's baptism. It had taken Herod 46 years to build that temple. It was the last time the temple could have been rebuilt. And in the midst of the week, after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And what the better translation is that after the midst of that, it says that the Jews shall no more be Messiah's people. And that was signified at his baptism. So another Bath Kol, even back in Daniel's time, about this incredible series of events that took place in those 7 years while Jesus the 7 years began the minute the wall was finished, and they ended at his crucifixion. And in the midst of the week, he was baptized, which in a sense put an end to all righteousness. That's why when John the Baptist said he wasn't, let's go there, Matthew 3. Three. Is this making sense to anybody?
Yep. It reminds me of the thing about nothing's by one witness. There's always three or more witnesses.
In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand." For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. And they were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, as we know, this is the only time the Jews baptized, during these 10 days of awe. Now, if you've grown up Baptist, you will say that the Jews didn't baptize anybody. But they did, and I can show you hundreds of references to it. This is the one, John the Baptist, of whom Jesus said, "Of men born of women, there has never been nor will ever be one greater than he." And so now let's see what he says. "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers." Now, generation of vipers is the same thing that the angel of the Lord said to Jacob. Generation of vipers, that's a nice way of saying, oh, you sons of the snake. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth their fruits meet for repentance. Now, he's not only saying that, he's saying that to everybody. And the evidence that he's saying it to everybody is that he, John the Baptist, took anyone who was willing to be baptized. They had to cross the Jordan River and go out of the promised land. And by doing so, they were saying they were not worthy to be part of the promised land. They were the generation of vipers. They were the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Can you understand why baptism is so important? It's your burial. "And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." What an incredible statement. It's the same thing Jesus said earlier to the Jews that believed on him. You are of your father, the devil. Now, this is... And he said, bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. And in verse 10 tells us why. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. The tree can't be fixed. It can't be fertilized. What tree are they talking about? You and I, whose life has been the tree of what? The tree of good, of everything about us. All of our sustenance has been from not the tree of life, but it's been from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's the basis of our is existential life. Now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me? And Jesus said this incredible thing. Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. That's exactly the same thing that Daniel said. Do you understand? He had to fulfill all righteousness because that prefigured his death. And then his mercy continued for 3.5 more years. Just as we'll see this over and over in time. In every type, there's mercy revealed as a part of the type. On Rosh Hashanah is Judgment Day, but he waits and gives us 10 more days to come to the repentance. Then immediately after that should happen the Feast of Tabernacles, the Marriage Supper of the Lamb, but he gives us...
And even the 10 is mercy because it takes 7 and there's 3 extra in case you screw up.
Amen. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway up out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting. It wasn't a dove, but it descended like a dove. And lo, a bath coal, a voice from heaven saying, this now is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. These are huge events. Alter the meaning of life. They're not just optional things that you pick and choose from. So after Yom Kippur, after the scapegoat, after the fulfillment of the scapegoat in Christ, now go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. But you don't return to the old works because you just buried them. What?
There's another place where it says that. It says something about go my way and enjoy the wife of thy youth or something like that. It talks about, it's the same thing with even more.
Everybody understand the baptism a little bit. What you do is you leave. Once you're baptized, then self is gone forever. Unless you raise him from the dead from his deadly head wound. And you raise him from the dead You shouldn't have been baptized if you didn't understand all was vain and futile. That's why if you've got things to do and places to go and stuff to accomplish, from the very beginning I've told you, go do it. And that's what it's always said. Go to Luke 10, we'll see another one. Before, I'm going to tell you, let me read tell you the story. This is a guy named, his name was Abba Tana. He was called Abba the Tana the Pious. He was entering into the city, on his city, on the Sabbath eve, just before the three stars could be seen, and the Sabbath day would start. And there's all kinds of speculation of which Sabbath eve it was. I think it was probably Yom Kippur, but that's another story. But he was carrying a heavy bundle of probably things necessary for the Sabbath, and maybe firewood, or to start a fire before the Sabbath started. He met a man lying by the side of the road, afflicted with boils. The man said, "Rabbi, do me an act of charity and carry me, please, into the city." The rabbi said to himself, "My family needs what is in the bundle to celebrate Sabbath. But if I ignore this afflicted man, I will forfeit my life. But if I try to do both, i.e. carry him into the city and take my bundle into the city," because he couldn't carry both, "I will forfeit my life. I will break the Sabbath." He went ahead and he carried the man back into the city, and then he went back for his bundle. And God caused the sun to shine enough time for him to get back into the city. And this is a quote. Go to Malachi 3. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. I'm sorry, I was studying it from the Hebrew Bible, and this is one that they've changed the verses, so this will take a minute. Well, it's in our Bible, in this Bible, it's Matthew, in Malachi 4, verse 2. "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." And that's the bath coal, or the thing that explained the phenomena, that by his mystery he was allowed to. Now, isn't that a kind of similar to the story of the Good Samaritan?
Yeah, it also reminds me that is the story.
Go to Luke 10.
Is it Ruth or Esther, where at the end it says that everybody had played their part?
Boaz played his part. Esther played her part. Mordecai played his part. And that evil one who had the right of first redemption played his part. verse 25, Luke 10. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And answering, he said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. Do this, this do, and live, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Again, because the great commandment, the second half of it, was in your neighbor as yourself. And this Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, and came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. And a certain Samaritan, now Samaritans were considered the most evil of all evil by the Jews. They were whatever you despise the most. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to the inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay thee. Which now of these three, the priest or the Levite or the Samaritan, which now of these three thinkest that thou was his neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said, Go and do likewise. The only reason the time is continuing is because of God's mercy. I believe that the angel of the Lord has been ready to stand. Let's go to Revelation 10. Verse 7. No, verse 5, excuse me. I believe this angel, obviously, if John saw him stand, the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created the heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Once Jesus Christ said it's finished, then that angel was ready to stand and say there should be time no longer. If there's not any time, then there can be no space. And it's only because of the mercy of the Father that he's delayed that. And if this doesn't produce the fear of God in you, I don't know what will. Are you going to continue serving yourself? I believe that, I tried to find out and hoped that everything that I teach wasn't true. But it is. Vanity of vanity, vanity of vanities. All is vanity and vexation of spirit. his own right arm, his own seed has gotten him the victory. Don't you know by now the emptiness of your efforts? Don't you know by now the emptiness and futility of your thoughts? Isn't it time to truly come to the end of yourself and abandon yourself to his love, taking no thought for your life, no thought for what you're going to do next, no thought for you in any dimension? That's enough.
That was an altar call.
That story of the man with the burden, it really says it all. It'd be a great last word.
Can you see how the human race is concerned with self? The evil one has deceived the whole world. And if you let it, your mind will consume you with yourself.
Saying that's like saying the human race is concerned with breathing here.
Unless you've seen the end, unless you can see vanity.
But you can't imagine living without concern for self.
Well, I can. That's our only hope. And again, I pray that, man, if somebody can show me that this is wrong, with the scriptures or anything else.
Ronnie and I were talking the other day about fast, how we act on fast. You know, as they go through the day, oh God, if I could just have a cup of coffee, if I could only have a cup of coffee, then everything would be fine. That's all I want is a cup of coffee. And then the fast is over, and you're jubilant, and you have a cup of coffee, and it's the best damn cup of coffee you've ever had. And 15 minutes later, at best, there's something else you gotta have, and the coffee couldn't be less important. And you just go, it's always, I mean, it's just a bottomless sinkhole of reaching out and sticking stuff in your mouth.
And again, the thing that's, I mean, I can only repeat what Paul said, many walk, of whom I have told you often, and I'll tell you again, even weeping, who are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their appetites, whose glory is in their shame, where they give breath or mind earthly things. And again, if it's fine if you do that. I mean, if you really don't know that all this next great idea or the next great thing or the next great is just emptiness, then fine. I mean, then just pray for mercy. But if you know it and you keep doing it over and over and over and over again, and it blame, you know, like... Well, I just don't know how to shut up my mind. Well, do you shut it up by saying that it's lying to you? You don't. Does it tell you ever the truth? Have you heard me say a million times that your mind has never been your friend your entire life? It's promoted you, and the fruit of it is always desperate aloneness. It never stops. Again, because you know, our rebellion isn't punished instantly. We think we're getting by with it. So we go on and do it again and do it again and do it again. But you know that you know that you know. You just want to just go do it again. You know, and that scripture you read from this, you know, he's causing it to stay. You know, he's delaying this angel who's. You can just visualize this angel straining with all his might. He wants to stand up and declare, time is no more. There's another section where he's just restraining the winds. Remember that in Revelation? It's like, if you don't have some sense of urgency of this, that's what I'm trying to, by all the times we study, I'm trying to get you to see it so that you have some understanding of the depth of his mercy and how much we deserve to be toast. You can never be again be a victim.
And how really he's staying in the sunset.
Or and now staying the sunrise, and the night has come when no man can work in this context. Please, just anybody else? Ms. Jessana? Understand? Jeff?
I don't understand everything, but I'm sorry.
What part of it didn't you understand? Did you understand the emptiness of human effort?
I understand. I don't understand that completely yet, but I'm learning more and more about it. I am.
All righty, take it, big guy.